Hello, welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we discuss the political issues of the moment. I'm Mike Siluma, and thank you for joining us. Joining us in this episode is Professor Susan Boysen, who's Emeritus Professor at Wits University, who also works as an independent research consultant. With her, we'll be looking at the survival prospects of the GNU and the changed terrain in which all parties, without exceptions, are having to find their way forward.
I will not renew my membership of the EFF. I also request to resign all positions in the EFF.
We are not going to have a parallel government run by Helen Zille. There's one president here, and that president is Cyril Ramaphosa.
Bavas J.
Marikana. Marikana.
Bavas J.
Honorable members, be in order.
Those who are involved in state capture, action will be taken.
Does that include the top seven?
No.
Why does it not?
Don't start trouble. Nobody's going to announce tomorrow. The results are not correct. If that happens, people will be provoking.
You're dealing with Jacob Zuma. Every stage is a theater for him.
The people of Palestine, they're denied the right to enjoy the freedoms we so love.
Who are blown but not out.
Hey, welcome to the podcast again, Susan.
Thank you, Mike. So good to be your guest. Thank you.
Now, maybe let's start with the structure itself, the GNU, because it has, in a sense, it has got as many supporters as enemies, you know, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, and everyone is putting a spin on it and their own interpretation and recasting it, depending on who they're talking to, you know, or what they're wanting to gain politically. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the difference between the original GNU and the current one that we have?
The original GNU, the 1994 one, of course, included the three major parties. And that's why it was really qualified to be called a GNU, because the major political players, by definition, constitutionally defined, were in that government, a government of national unity.
Now, and the major ones at the time, you know, for those who are uninitiated.
Yes, the African National Congress, the then New National Party. Oh, it was still the National Party, became the New National Party about a year into that GNU, and then got a Freedom Party, the IFP. The three of them were there, and they qualified in terms of the percentages expected constitutionally to be part. They had to be part. And they were part, despite the fact that the ANC had a majority. Mm-hmm. But it was an extension of the negotiations process of reconciliation, of giving reassurances with those who were uncertain what this new political mm-hmm. future would hold. So it gave them that reassurance, which makes that GNU rather different from the current GNU. Mm.
And were the smaller parties in that one as well or not? Or was it just the three?
The smaller parties were not in. They were just a few small parties. And they were really accommodated in terms of their needs and their interests. And we can think of the PAC, minimal representation, but well accommodated, but not in terms of the formal executive positions. Okay. Mm-hmm. And across the provinces, several other provinces also took up the formula for national government. Okay. And so it was really a part of reconciliation.
But it was a structured, if you like, and agreed.
It was agreed in terms of the interim constitution. Mm, yeah. And it also, the cooperation of ANC and IFP also remained until the late 1990s.
Mm-hmm. And if we fast forward to now, the difference is what?
It is not all of the major parties that are included in it. Here, of course, it is the MK party and the EFF that are not included in it, and the two of them are major parties. So it's really true that people say this is not really a GNU. It is definitely a coalition. Mm-hmm. It is nonsense to say a GNU is not a coalition. A GNU, why? By definition, mm-hmm. is a coalition.
But why is that? Why are people making an issue of that? Ah. I mean, the politicians. When I say people, I mean the politicians.
Politicians.
Is there something that we're not understanding there? Why would they be so bent on distinguishing the two and insisting that it's one and not the other?
There's so much politics that goes into it, and political interest, and especially the ANC. They were quite adamant, and they had a lot of certainty when the moment of a sub 50% election result arose for them, they knew they were going to go with the DA, see if they can get a negotiated deal with them. But there was so much resistance. My sources told me it's about 40% of the ANC NEC, for example, of the National Executive Committee, therefore, who were opposed at that meeting of the NEC just after the election results became known, not even formally announced yet. About 40% of that NEC was opposed to it. They arrived at a consensus position, and obviously the minorities also go with the majority. But they realized there can be political trouble for them. And so they really wanted to play down the idea that they are, and they're still bent on that, to play down the idea that they are, and the fact that they are in coalition with the DA. And that is where that NEC meeting of the ANC also decided, let's open the door. Let's invite all of these small parties, and a host of the small parties, very small and quite small, came in. And to the extent that there's a total of 10 at one point, there were 11 who the United Africans Transformation was also there, the small Limpopo party, quite religious party in their base, not known beyond that province. But they at one point wanted to be in that GNU coalition as well. But besides them, it was a strategy. It continues to be a strategy of the ANC to downplay the fact and the fallout it experiences in its own ranks and within a tripartite alliance, the fallout experiences because of the alliance with the DA. The DA is still the enemy of choice. And rightfully too, it comes with so much of a legacy of racism and race politics, and the color of the party and the color of much of the leadership of the party doesn't quite gel with most of South Africa. So that can be understood. But the ANC really wants to play that down, downplay that. And in the process, ANC also keeps open a little back door. Should the DA actually decide to leave a GNU? I don't think they will. We can talk about that later. But should the DA leave the ANC with this host of small and micro parties in the GNU, perhaps a little bit of top up, maybe from BOSA, maybe from Action SA, who are not in the coalition in the GNU, the ANC has got an alternative to go that way. Not even to mention the ANC could still go with the EFF too. The two of them, should the ANC want to go totally that direction, they would just be marginally short of an outright majority in a National Assembly. But again, one of these other micro parties can come in easily.
I can understand the point you're making there as to why the ANC would not want, from an optics, but also from a political point of view, especially internally, they would not want to be seen to be getting into bed. What's the term that you used? The enemy of choice? You know?
Yes.
I can understand that. But could there not be a case for a genuine desire to unite the country after the election, whose result nobody really would have preferred? In other words, could there be a level at which the ANC genuinely would want to keep as many people in the tent than outside, beyond just managing its own internal dynamics? Or do you think that there's only one reason or one way of looking at the thing?
I wish I could see that positive orientation in party politics anywhere, and particularly in South Africa. I don't think there is much political charity in any of these coalitions. Political parties are in it for what they can gain out of it. The ANC in particular, of course, there can be wonderful talk and narratives about uniting the nation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But for the ANC, that coalition is really a platform which it can use to recover. The ANC has not accepted that coalition politics is its destiny for the future. It really still wants to use this current period and this by time on this coalition platform to recover, to come back as a majority party. We can see that in so many of Cyril Ramaphosa's statements. Also, when he was celebrating the first 100 days of GNU outside Luthuli House in late in October,
is talking about it as a strategic setback, not a defeat, a setback. So they're looking at this coalition time as recovery time. The ANC still sees itself in the next election coming back with an outright majority. And just footnote to my argument here, I do not see that happening. Mm. It was a bigger loss that the ANC suffered in this election than they had expected or generally expected, and largely due to a contribution, not sole responsibility, but a contribution by MK Party. But ANC has been in systematic decline over all elections, the last set of elections. Basically, the ANC peaked in 2004, and one or two little blips here and there in between, upward blips, but it has been systematic decline, and not just nationally, across the provinces. And that was evident before MK Party came into the picture. And the ANC at this stage is not doing anything significantly different to such an extent that I would expect a general popular turnaround, in the words of Cyril Ramaphosa, who claims that South Africans still love them, still want them to bring the revolution. I do not see that. It may be in large numbers that it is the case, but I do not see it in numbers, increasing numbers, to the extent that it would give the ANC a turnaround in elections that come.
Hmm. Just to take some of the members of the GNU in turn, not all of them, shall we look at the benefits for staying in the GNU, starting with the ANC? What would you say, briefly, that is the benefit for them of being in a GNU as a political party right now?
It gives the ANC a majority. And in this case, the ANC has got about a 72% majority through the coalition in parliament. That is a massive advantage. It means they are guaranteed to be able to take decisions and are roughly guaranteed to be able to push through their own arguments and their own positions. We know this relationship with the DA has been amusing at the worst of times, really been amusing, because the ANC on the one hand says, and here I talk about senior ministers in the presidency, tell the DA and other parties, the DA is the one that really matters there, you've got no right to bring your own policies. This is a GNU party, implying that this is a new entity, but simultaneously saying, but no, all the policies are in place, including foreign policy, of course. And it is the sixth administration, the previous administration policies that are the ones that are the government policies. So the ANC is really playing it all in all directions, saying this is a new unit. It's in effect a GNU party. But then is also saying, no, you haven't got a right to bring in other policies. So the ANC has got benefit that it can claim that it is just continuing. And I think Cyril Ramaphosa specifically said to the ANC's followers, it is our election manifesto that this government is implementing. That is a massive advantage that the ANC gets.
Mm.
I interrupted you.
Let's look at the DA. What is the benefit, in your view, of them staying in the GNU, right?
Has got a foothold in power,
and then I'm gonna go back to your earlier statement at the end of this, you know, because you said that you don't think they will leave.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to that.
So let's look at the benefit and then look at the prospects for staying or leaving.
The DA emerged out of a failed multi-party charter alliance, which it was confirmed in the election, and it became clear even before the election that they would not win an outright majority. And here the ANC, the DA, pardon, is a little bit in power, not altogether in power. The ANC thoroughly treats it like it is a 20% party. Mm-hmm. And the DA was not quite as astute, I believe, in a coalition negotiations in a run just after the election.
I'm very surprised that you would say that. You know, I know I'm interrupting you.
No, please
do. If you listen to some people in the ANC, you think that Helen Zille is this big brain who put this whole coalition together, and she's sitting in the background pulling the strings. You know,
I agree with you on that.
It's, you know, if in reality your view is that actually the ANC has got the better end of the stick, the longer end of the stick, and yet there seems to be this obsession with the DA controlling the ANC, almost like nobody in the ANC can actually hold a candle to the DA leadership. Why is that?
Yes, I think
Twice in the last couple of weeks, I've heard Panyaza Lesufi saying, Helen Zille is not a member of the ANC. The ANC is not a branch of the DA.
I think they are so overreacting. Hmm. They are so sensitive. They are so hurt by the fact that they are actually in alliance with the DA. They still have not accepted that. They have not come to terms with that. They've got so much they have, and they exercise so much power over the DA. Mm. I really think they can say, Helen is at it again. Let's give her a bit of space.
Is Helen being Helen?
She wants to listen to what she has to say. Mm. Mm. I really think they could react very differently. To the DA's inputs.
But I was diverting you there. I mean, we were talking about the benefits for the DA of being in government. Yeah. You're saying they are sort of in power, but not quite.
And they've got more power.
So what's the benefit?
Yeah,
is the benefit sitting in the departments, you know, with someone like Leon Schreiber, for example?
Yes.
Is that the kind of benefit power that you're talking about?
Yes, it is. They have got a chance, which they want to do if they want to grow further, and all political parties want to grow further. The DA definitely has those ambitions to say, we've been in government and look, we've made a difference. We have done this. We have improved that. We have exercised these rights that we have. We've used these opportunities. Look, vote. Give us your vote in future. Talking to a hypothetical electorate now.
Or give us more of your vote.
More of your vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can do things better. We can improve here. Most political parties crave that opportunity to say to the electorate, look, we have proven ourselves in government. So that's a big thing for the DA to come. And they will have that advantage come in next election to say, look, we have made a difference. Hopefully they do really make that kind of difference. That's a big attraction for any political party to share in power. Mm. And both these parties, ANC and the DA, of course, they do not have a plan to become a new party. That is one of the big effects that coalitions can have on cooperating parties to gradually, probably consensually forge a new identity that could give birth to a new political party. But truly, I do not think either the DA or the ANC in any way harbors that ambition. So that is also why they come out and Panyaza and Fikile come out and make these noises and the same on DA's side to make sure, even if they are in the same government, the voters keep on differentiating them in their own minds. That is important for these parties, despite their cooperation in government, to show that we are not buddies.
We are not DA ministers.
We really do not like them.
And we are DA ministers.
Exactly. So that they do not get conflated in and get a mixed, fused identity.
Yeah. Mm. Now, why do you think the DA would not leave the GNU?
It loves saying to its electorate, we are giving you the value for your money. We said we would save you from this doomsday alliance of ANC and EFF. And they love that they are able to do that. Mm-hmm. And then the question of power and possible leverage it gives them in terms of future elections. I really think
it's like a more potent platform than to be in the opposition.
It is. They would not have that if they were just sitting in the opposition benches. They are now an opposition inside this coalition. Mm. And that gives them so much more coverage, so much more exposure, more opportunities to show that they perhaps can be competent in government.
You don't think things like the Bella Act and NHI could actually cause them to leave or cause the GNU to collapse? Or you think everyone is overreacting to say, oh, this is going to be like a make or break thing? You know, if the DA doesn't have its way on the bail appeal, for example, the GNU might as well be a thing of the past.
I think it's all, they really would like to get some concessions there. And it's possible they will get some small concessions. We still have to see how that can play out practically. But I think it remains a possibility that they will be able to, DA will be able to save face through small concessions and through being given opportunity to show that some of their small proposals, even if it's a few here and there, can actually work. So I think there's a lot of grandstanding involved, but I think they will stay. And also because their voice within the alliance, within the coalition, GNU coalition, is stronger than it would be than just as an opposition party. They now have a type of opposition role while simultaneously being part of the government. That gives much more leverage than they would have otherwise.
You alluded to the internal pressure in the ANC caused by the GNU, if you like. How serious is it? In other words, would it be a convincing argument or proposition to say the longer the GNU endures, the greater the tensions are going to be in the ANC in the run-up to either the General Council or even to the elective conference?
It could be. We still have to see how the details are playing out. How Gauteng and Panyaza Lesufi and his type of coalition in the province play out. And there's so much that is underdetermined there because we know the uncertainties that prevail in the political context now with MK Party and EFF and the knowledge that they're not just sleeper members of the MK Party in the EFF, but also in the ANC. And so that places these parties, also the ANC, in a very difficult position.
That's a very interesting view of the thing, you know, that you think that MKP has got sleepers in both the EFF the ANC.
These three parties have got such big blood in a sense of black, green and gold blood bonds between them. And we know MKP in particular and TFF had also made statements to the same kind of effect that they really want to reconstitute the ANC. For they are not ordinary opposition parties that want to mobilize a different constituency. Their constituency on which they want to grow is in the ANC. And MK Party in particular wants to take over the ANC and make it in their own image, in their own desires. And that places a very difficult burden on these political parties to target their constituency, decide whom they align with, and when are they going to be stricter in terms of telling this premier or that branch or region, you can't play it that way. You must play it by the central NEC, official NEC party rules. So there's a lot of fluidity there. And that fluidity and cross-cutting allegiances really makes it very difficult for the ANC to enforce strict internal discipline.
Let's look at the DA. Does it have similar internal tensions as the ANC is having to manage as a result of being in the GNU?
Not that I am so familiar with. Granted, I'm more familiar. ANC is more my topic of study than the DA is. But we have not seen that emerge as clear, if it is there, We haven't seen it as clear, emerge as clearly and in such a pronounced way as it is in ANC. It's part of the ANC's character. But I imagine there is much in the DA if we just look at the traditional lines in how that party has been constituted, the DA has been constituted, of course. It comes from Helen Suzman's very progressive, liberally progressive in that sense of the word, progressive party. And then there was a progressive federal party, et cetera, et cetera. And on the other hand, they were the reactionary old National Party, the new National Party that wasn't much better. And there are these different orientations in there. And we know the Freedom Front at one stage in a previous election was very adamant, and it showed in some of the election results that they were actually taking over some of their DA support. Mm. But that support in the this year's election then moved back to the DA. But there are lots of cultural and political cultural differences in that party. But to the best of my knowledge, it's not realized in terms of the specific factionalism that we see in ANC.
Might not be as deep, as there might be, in the ANC.
Could be.
But before I let you go, Professor Poison, I wanted to ask you, the outside of the coalition, there is, and I think we touched on some of the parties, MKP, for example, EFF. It has been in those circles. There's been talk of a progressive black movement, or however they call it.
Progressive caucus.
Of the progressive, yes, caucus, of these, of those parties led by the likes of MKP and the EFF. Now, can that actually happen? Is that a fantasy, or is that something that can actually coalesce into a viable party? I'm asking you this because of what has been happening in the EFF.
Yes.
With key people leaving the EFF and crossing over to the MKP, and the kind of frustration that seems to be coming out of the EFF, that there's a plan somewhere being brewed in the MKP to kill the EFF or immobilize it or something, Do you think that this idea of a progressive caucus will go far, go anywhere under those circumstances?
Yes, Mike, it is so, it's such an early stage really to give a definitive answer to that. I think they are putting down roots. I was almost going to say making progress. Perhaps just a touch too early to say that as such, but I think the potential for progress is there. Like we have seen in the last election, how relatively easy, by the looks of it, by the little bit we know so far about organization in the MK party, how they could take over ANC structures, ANC branches, how that could just fold over into the MK party. And we know there are doubts as to the institutionalization of the party. It now has a constitution. It managed to get an election manifesto together a week or three before the election. It now has a constitution. And it is building up a level of leadership like we have seen in the Floyd Shivambus and Dali Mpofu's and a few others. And that can probably, in the end, stand in for Zuma if Zuma is suddenly not there. He is 82 and, by some reports, not as healthy as he used to be, but not entirely bad.
It's still his party.
It is his party. But you look at this ring, this layer of leadership that I talk about that's being built up, they're all so closely associated with Zuma. Some, like Busisiwe Mkhwebane, in unfortunate, sometimes dubious ways in having defended so much of corruption in ways that was in line with her position as public protector. Dali Mpofu comes in without that kind of baggage, but having defended, continuously does defend Zuma in so many other court cases. But I see a level of leadership being built up there that could possibly in the end stand in and substitute for Zuma. There's such a close association. If Zuma should go any time relatively soon within the existence of this party, I think there would be so much anchorage, linkages of him into the party, and so much legacy there that they could actually pull that off without Zuma in person. So I don't think the question of his age is anything that necessarily mitigates against the progress by the NK party. For the EFF, I think it's a bit late. According to what Alan Pofu has been saying in his interviews, there was an initiative before the election to come together. The EFF, having not performed dismally in the election, but didn't live up to those expectations. Before the election, there was the expectation that it could supersede the DA and become the second biggest party. By those criteria, it has dismally underperformed. And it has been going down in the one opinion poll publicly that we've seen publicly since the election. EFF has also been going down. And so if the EFF should decide to align in terms of the parliamentary progressive caucus, but start coalescing into a political party, I think it's going to be from a position of weakness. And I cannot see Julius Malema agreeing to do that. They have got a fairly strong standing in parliament. I would probably rather see him, imagine him staying with that and try to rebuild the EFF from the current parliamentary base. And in some provinces, they did do relatively well.
No, I'm thinking as well that if you look at the personality of Julius Malema, and you look at the personality of Jacob Zuma and Floyd, even, you know, I think one can say, can you visualize them being in the same party and one deferring to the other as leader?
There are already three bulls in one little crawl. I can't see them cooperating. They are going to be totally at loggerheads. And maybe there's agreement on some of the broader policy matters, land, restitution, ownership of mines, etc. There could be convergence of that, but they all want to be the leader. There isn't space for all of them. At this stage, by current behaviors, I do not see them being the leaders, joint leaders in one party.
The departure of, of all these people, these key people, with a rumored imminent departure of Moore from the EFF to the MKP, how much of a threat do you think that is to the EFF?
It remains.
Do you think
a big
they can
threat.
Recover from that and become as potent a presence as it was in the last couple of years?
It will be hard work to recover because a couple of the luminaries have left. Serious top-level names have left, Shivambu Mpofu. That is not to be underestimated, the impact of that. If even more of them goes, they have suffered, I think, great reputational damage already. A few strong names remain in the EFF, and there's probably more that can come through the ranks. But it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of recovery and lost reputation.
Well, we'll see. Maybe the answers will come out of their forthcoming conference, the EFF conference that's coming up.
Yes, we will really be looking at that conference to see whether there are smoke signals of new bright futures arising.
Professor Susan Boysens, we'd like to thank you very much. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for our conversation today. We thank you very much for your time and for your very interesting perspectives.
Thank you, Mike.
As we navigate our way, all of us, in this post-election GNU world.
In a continuous election between election positioning and capturing of parties.
Yes. Professor Boysens, of course, is the Emeritus Professor at Wits University and also an independent research consultant. Thank you very much, Prof.
My pleasure.
My name is Mike Siluma. Until next time, be blessed, stay safe, and let's do good for our country.
Sunday Times Politics Weekly is a production of Arena Holdings. Thanks to our producer, Bulelani Nonyukela. If you liked our show, please take a moment to leave us a review on your favorite streaming app and share our podcast with your friends. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe for free on Iono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Player FM, or wherever you get your podcasts.